You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball, and I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On this episode, which is being dropped on the 23rd day of March 2020, we'll be doing a preview of the NL West season for the 2020 season, if it ever happens. This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available on Apple Podcasts and all the places where you get your podcasts. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcasts Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows, of which six of them will be teased in this particular episode. You can follow us at LockedOnMLB_net on Twitter. We're at LockedOnMLB on Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter. Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Well, guess what, folks? We're still plowing through our preview for the 2020 season. Your guess is as good as mine, if and when it will ever happen. But we have Scott Cullen of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. We'll be giving a person to possibly draft and a person to possibly avoid for each one of the teams in the NL West for today. And we'll be hearing from the different podcasts covering the teams of the NL West. Up first is Jeff Snyder and Vince Sampiero of Locked On Dodgers.
This is Jeff Snyder and Vince Sampiero of Locked On Dodgers here to talk about the 2020 Dodgers. Vince, let's talk about the one or two biggest storylines surrounding our team, the Dodgers, this season. For me, the big storyline is seeing how Cody Bellinger and Mookie Betts play together in the outfield, both former MVPs, both elite offensive and defensive players, and just kind of seeing how that solidifies the Dodgers offense and what that does for them. How about you? What's your biggest storyline?
Yeah, for me, the biggest storyline is going to be the starting rotation. They seem to have the right guys right now and more guys in the pipeline, but it's going to be interesting to see if, you know, somebody emerges as a clear top flight pitcher or if they go out and get one. All right, Jeff, you are forever an optimist. What is the best-case scenario for the Dodgers, and what needs to happen for them to realize it?
Well, I mean, obviously the best-case scenario is they win the World Series, and you don't have to squint very hard to see it. You know, they're going to make the postseason. They're going to win their division. And on paper, they're going to be the favorites going into the playoffs to at least reach the World Series. And then, you know, a lot depends on what happens with the Yankees and Astros, I guess, as far as whether they're favored in the World Series. But I think this could be their year. The Dodgers, I don't think much needs to go right necessarily. They just need to have not too much go wrong, especially when it comes to October, to reach that best case scenario. So, Vince, I wouldn't say you're forever the pessimist, but you get to answer the other side. What's the worst-case scenario, and what could lead to that?
Yeah, worst-case scenario is missing the playoffs, not winning the division for the first time since 2013. And really, the only way I can see that happening is injuries, and a lot of them. You know, we saw the Yankees get a ton of injuries last year, and they were able to overcome it because of their depth. The Dodgers are kind of built similarly, if not better, with their depth. But, you know, injuries to top guys could be the only way I see them missing the playoffs this year. Hopefully that doesn't happen. All right, Jeff, top positional player to watch this season.
Oh, man. You know, there's so many. But for me, I think it's Corey Seager. Not that I expect him to be the best position player for them, but he's coming back from injury. He didn't have a full season last year. He showed some sparks, especially at the end of the season. And I'm really excited to see what Corey Seager can do, given a full season of full health, because we forget that, you know, his rookie year, he finished third in the MVP voting and was a unanimous rookie of the year. He was one of the best hitters in baseball, and I'm really excited to see that version of Corey Seager back. What pitcher are you excited to watch, Vince?
Pitcher I'm excited to watch is Julio Urias. The kid is not so much a kid anymore, and he is finally going to be slotted into the starting rotation with seemingly not too many barriers or restrictions. And I'm excited to see if he can, you know, live up to the promise that he had when he was a 16-year-old, signed as a 16-year-old and came up as a 19-year-old. It seems like he's been around forever, but he's still pretty young. I'm excited to see him get a full-time year or full year in the rotation, hopefully. All right, Jeff, last question for you. Some rookies who might make an impact debuting this season.
You know, I guess I'm going to cheat on this question. It says debuts this season, but all the rookies who are likely to make an impact actually debuted last year. Obviously, Gavin Lux is the biggest one who I think, you know, has potential to be the rookie of the year. You know, he hasn't done much in spring training so far, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. And so Gavin Lux is one I'm excited to watch. And then plus the pitching combo of Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin, you know, both of their roles are up in the air. They're not going to be in the starting rotation to start the season, but I think they're both going to play a big role at some point during the season, whether it's in the rotation or out of the bullpen, like you said earlier, with, you know, the big question being, how's the rotation going to do, and are they going to go for outside help, or are some of these other guys going to step up? And so Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin are guys I'm really excited to see. So between those three guys, I feel like the Dodgers could potentially have, you know, three of the top five in the rookie of the year voting, or they could have zero. You never know how rookies are going to pan out, but I'm excited to see what all three of those guys do. And then my last question for you, Vince, what is your best guess on how the season ends?
My best guess on how the season ends, I think the Dodgers will for sure be in the World Series. I think the taste of last year's loss, along with all the other offseason happenings that went on, and with the addition of Mookie Betts and, you know, even Bruce Arcaro, who could be a factor late in the game as the season goes on, I think they'll for sure be in the World Series. Like I said earlier, it depends on the Astros and Yankees. But we're going to be bright about it, and we're going to say my best guess is the Dodgers end the season as World Series champions, and we finally get to have that parade down Figueroa.
There it is. You heard it here first. Dodgers, World Series 2020 champions. Thanks for listening.
Hello, Dodgers fans. I'm Scott Cullen, host of Locked On Fantasy Baseball, with a couple of players for you to consider for the 2020 Major League Baseball season. The Dodgers have a lot of stars, but 29-year-old Max Muncy is coming off his second straight 35 home run season and is eligible at both first and second base, two positions that don't have a lot of depth. Muncy's power is a difference maker at second base, but even at first or a corner infield slot, he's a useful addition. Now, one of the Dodgers I'm not so high on is left fielder Jock Peterson. The 27-year-old outfielder hit a career-high 36 home runs last season, and the Dodgers still tried to trade him to the Angels. He is less of a batting average risk, having hit .248 and .249 in the past two seasons, but it's obviously not a strength, and he doesn't run either, so he's more of a category-specific addition.
The Diamondbacks traded away all their stars and contended late into the season. This year they're bringing in Madison Bumgarner, and if there's ever a season to play, the Diamondbacks could be contenders. Miller Thomas of Locked On Diamondbacks gives his thoughts.
Miller Thomas here of the Locked On Diamondbacks podcast. I would have to say a couple big storylines for the D-backs this season. One being the Starling Marte at the top of the lineup. If you don't know what that is, the D-backs just acquired Starling Marte in a trade this offseason from the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then they're pairing him pretty much at the top of the lineup with Ketel Marte. So I think that's going to be a pretty dangerous 1-2 combo in the lineup. They're both 5-tool kind of players. You know, Starling Marte has a little bit more speed, but they both can hit for average, play defense, steal a few bags, and hit you 25-plus bombs while driving in some of their own. So I think how that little 1-2 combos gets deployed is one big storyline. And then I think another big storyline for this upcoming season will be the debut of Madison Bumgarner for the D-backs, poached him from the NL West rival San Francisco Giants. I think a lot of fans are just curious to see what he looks like in a D-backs uniform, to see if he could still be in that closest Cy Young caliber form like he usually was with the Giants. He's probably coming off his worst season right now. This past year in 2019, his ERA almost hit the fours. It flirted a little bit. It was about 3.9. So we'll see what he looks like in the D-backs uniform. I'll say those are probably the two biggest storylines surrounding the team heading into 2020. Now, the best case for scenario for the team, I would have to say it's the D-backs win about 90-ish games and finish with one of the two wild card spots. I think for them to do that, they would have to pretty much stay pretty consistent with how their hitters performed last season with the Christian Walker, Eduardo Escobar, Carson Kelly, just to name a few, had either breakout season or career season in their career. So I think if we get some more consistent performances and just some more performances where you look at guys and say, wow, that's either the best season of their career or they're right along with their career numbers, then I think the D-backs will be right around that 90-win category and will be vying for one of those two wild card spots. Now, the worst-case scenario for the team is if those players that did kind of have breakout career seasons last year do have a regression. That's what a lot of people and media think is going to happen to the D-backs. They think guys like Christian Walker and Eduardo Escobar just played over their heads the last season. They can't see them duplicating their success. Ketel Marte finished fourth in MVP voting. So they think if guys like that don't have the same kind of success they had last season, then the D-backs are going to be dead in the water and probably finish just around 500, that upper 70s, the low 80s win tier. And I think the D-backs are going to finish better than that. But I do think that's probably the worst case scenario for the D-backs if those guys have a regression and if those young pitchers that they have can't figure it out. They have guys like Zach Allen, Luke Weaver, Alex Yelling, a lot of young starting pitchers. So if those guys can't figure it out in the rotation, then I think also that will be part of the worst case scenario for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, who is the top positional player to watch? This one is obvious. Madison Bumgarner is going to be a high candidate, probably Starling Marte too, but it is easily the new face of the franchise. Let me say budding face of the franchise. I don't know if he's quite solidified it yet, but Ketel Marte is a star in the making. If you want to win a bar bet, bet someone how high he finished in MVP voting last year, because he finished fourth, and I bet you none of the people in the bar could tell you that. The man was a beast last year, batted 329, 30 home runs, 90-plus ribbies. He did a little bit of everything for the team. He really did a lot in the wake of trading Paul Goldschmidt, so he really solidified his mark on the team, and he could eventually possibly be the face of the entire city of Phoenix with how, depending on how the D-backs play in 2020. Now, who's the top pitcher to watch? Oh, I guess I said positional player in the last question anyway. So who is the top pitcher to watch? And that would obviously be Madison Bumgarner. The D-backs have a lot of unproven guys or guys who are trying to get back on the right track, like Robbie Ray, who was, you know, all-star type player a couple seasons ago, but has been regressing the last couple years. They have young guys like Luke Weaver, Zach Gallen, Alex Young, who are not proven yet, but have a lot of potential and who the fans like. And then you got some veterans like a Mike Leake or Merrill Kelly. But there's no one who you would rather watch pitch on this D-backs team than Madison Bumgarner. He's a World Series champion, multi-time All-Star, Cy Young candidate. So he is definitely the guy who the fans want to see and who is the most interesting to watch. He's the highest paid player on the team, and he's just a stud, and he's one of the faces of the MLB and not just the D-backs. So he's definitely one of the top guys you're going to want to watch. Who are some rookies who might make impact debuts this season? Now, I won't give you a rookie per se. He made his, I guess, rookie debut last season. This is Zach Gallen I'm talking about. He only made about 15 starts with the D-backs, but he's my guy to be the breakout player for the D-backs. I think he's going to have a phenomenal season. He had a sub-3 ERA with both the Marlins and the D-backs last year. He showed a lot. He had a good strikeout per nine, so he knows how to get batters out. And I think he just has a lot of good stuff. I like his pitching arsenal, so I think he's really going to be a positive force on the D-backs, and I think he could climb as high as the number 2 or number 3 starter in the D-backs rotation in 2020. Now, my best guess on how the season ends, I think it's going to be closer to the best case scenario than the worst case scenario. I think the D-backs are going to have a pretty solid offense, probably be one of the top 10 teams in home runs. I think they'll have a middle of the pack batting average, and I think they won't create so many easy scoring opportunities for themselves, because I don't think they're great on the base pass. I don't think they have a lot of burners on the bases, but I think depending on how their young starters do, I think they can have a really nice rotation 2020. Their back end of their bullpen gives me a little pause for concern, but they have a lot of guys back there with closing experience and who are good at least middle of their reliever guys. And I think the D-backs have a lot of guys who can mash home runs, a lot of 25-plus home run guys, a lot of veterans on the team. And one thing that's constant about the D-backs under the Troy Lovello, Mike Hazen regime is defense. The defense will always be phenomenal and always be one of the top ranked in the NL in terms of fielding percentage and errors committed. So I have no trepidation about that. So I think the D-backs overall, when it comes time for it, will be one of the two teams vying for a wild card spot. I think they'll finish right around the 85-92 win mark.
Hello, Diamondbacks fans. I'm Scott Cullen, host of Locked On Fantasy Baseball, with a couple of players for you to consider for the 2020 Major League Baseball season. By no means should you bank on third baseman Eduardo Escobar duplicating last season when he had 74 extra base hits, including a career-high 35 home runs with 110 RBIs, but he doesn't have huge name recognition, and maybe more importantly, he has second base eligibility. Third base is a more competitive spot, but if Escobar puts up similar numbers at second base, he'd be at or near the top of the position. On the other hand, left fielder David Peralta is a 32-year-old outfielder who somehow crushed 30 home runs in 2018, but that's the only time in his career he finished with more than 17 home runs in a season. He doesn't steal many bases, and last season's .275 batting average came on an expected batting average of .249, so he was even fortunate to have that average.
Wow, no love for David Peralta. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you hate stepping on the scale? Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and they're still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is the key. But so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for durability and an exceptionally user-friendly design. Step on, and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option. It means you need to have your phone on. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. Here's the deal. You could get 25% off of Withings Body Plus right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com, withings.com, /MLB, and get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. That's withings.com, /MLB, to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. What are you doing for the game? It's a universal question. Whether a casual follower that tweets everything, the beginner, the diehard, the stat nerd, the smack talker, the appetizer guy, the guy doing a daily baseball podcast that couldn't care less or that makes everything into a competition person, we all have our place in the sports world. The same personalities apply to fantasy sports, and League Commish exists to ensure that your fantasy sports experience is the best one for you. We match managers to leagues as we lay the foundation for your new league. It's as easy as sign up with your preferences. Get matched and approve of that match before any commitment on your end. Sign up with League Commish by February 29th and receive 15% off by entering the code LOCKEDON in the referred section of the sign-up form. The first 25 people using our code receive their first match for free. So what are you doing for the game? Find your next fantasy sports league at leaguecommish.com. The Giants couldn't possibly have had a better decade than the 2010s, winning 3 World Series titles and going to the playoffs another year. Ben Kaspic of Locked On Giants takes a look at the rebuilding, which begins in 2020.
Hi, this is Ben Kaspic, the host of Locked On Giants Baseball. Assuming the season eventually gets underway, one of the biggest storylines for the San Francisco Giants in 2020 is going to be about how Gabe Kapler and his entirely new coaching staff fare in the first season in the post-Bruce Bochy era, which was a long era with a ton of continuity. So the Giants, of course, brought in new president of baseball operations, Farhan Zaidi, who definitely has behaved differently than the old regime during his first year plus in San Francisco. So a lot of those moves were unfamiliar to fans, but I do believe they're heading in the right direction. And now with Bochy retiring and a new coaching staff in place, it's just going to be fascinating to watch the continued transformation. I happen to think it's going to work out well for them, again, assuming the games do get underway at some point, but it's definitely the key storyline to watch in 2020. The best case scenario for the San Francisco Giants in 2020 is that they are surprise contenders, and I don't think it is quite as unrealistic as many have painted it out to be, and I'll give an example as to why. Last season, nobody really should have expected the Giants to be legitimate contenders at any point, especially preseason. But thanks to some of the moves Farhan Zaidi made, notably acquiring Alex Dickerson in a minor trade, acquiring Mike Yastrzemski in a minor trade, having breakout performers like Donovan Solano, Trevor Gott, being aggressive with the promotions of some young players, they actually were the best team in baseball in the month of July. They went 19-6, and they were 55-51 beginning June 1st. So yes, this offseason they lost Madison Bumgarner, they lost Will Smith, and they lost some others, but they also acquired a couple of guys who are under the radar, not bad players, like Kevin Gausman, I think, could be a key player. Drew Smyly has upside. They just have much better depth now and a willingness and capability to utilize platoon matchups better than they have in any recent seasons. And I think it could play to their benefit, and that's how they would be surprise contenders in 2020. The worst case scenario for the Giants has more to do with failing to develop future pieces, because a big part of what made 2019 successful, in my opinion, was the breakout performances from some guys who can be long-term keepers in San Francisco, like guys with long-term team control. Whether or not they'll be here for the duration of that period is irrelevant, but someone like Mike Yastrzemski is under team control for many, many seasons now, and if he continues to play like he did in 2019, at the very least, even if he's not someone they see in their longer-term plans because of perhaps the aging curve, he's someone who would have a lot of trade value as teams covet players with long-term team control who are undervalued, underpaid, essentially. So the worst-case scenario would be guys like Mike Yastrzemski take a step back and they do not continue that trend of uncovering players like him in 2020. Another bad thing that could happen would be if the minor leaguers in the Giants system don't develop as planned and certain players who are big in the turnaround of their farm system take steps backwards. To me, the top position player to watch for the Giants right now is Mike Yastrzemski, because he was so good from basically July through the end of the season, and his overall season numbers were very good as well. But if he can replicate A, what he did in the overall season in 2019, and B, especially what he did once he got his feet wet in the majors, then the Giants have a really good player on their hands. And he also did well against left-handed pitching, despite the fact that he's a left-handed hitter, in a very small sample last year. So it'll be very interesting to see if he can continue to hit lefties well, and if he can just continue to be a quality player. The top pitcher to watch for me is Kevin Gausman, because I've been saying on this show a lot, on my show, that my hot take really is that Kevin Gausman is going to have a better season on the mound than Madison Bumgarner, who departed to the Diamondbacks in free agency. Kevin Gausman has flashed brilliance at times in his career. He was especially strong as a starting pitcher after being traded from the Orioles to the Braves a couple of seasons ago. He really finished strong with Atlanta. Didn't go so well in the start of 2019, but after ending up with the Reds, Gausman really turned it around out of the bullpen and was dominant in the pen. And so Gausman potentially presents that type of upside in the starting rotation, especially because the Giants are a forward-thinking organization and they might just have him throw like 4 or 5 innings at a time and just try to max effort and get that same bullpen type production in a starting role. And if it doesn't work out, the Giants believe he can be an elite reliever, and I tend to agree with them, in which case they could either have him in that role or trade him in that role and perhaps get a valuable return like they were able to do with Drew Pomeranz, doing a similar thing with him last year. In terms of rookies who might impact the Giants this season, I think Joey Bart is the obvious guy to watch. Many publications consider Bart to be a top 10 or 15 prospect in all of baseball. He's a catcher, the heir apparent to Buster Posey, and he does it with defense and power. And so the Giants could really use that type of power in the lineup. Very likely he gets called up this season, and his impact could have a big effect on the future of this organization. So he is certainly someone to watch. In terms of my best guess as to how the season ends, I think it's likely to be similar to how it was last season, where they may flirt with contention for some period of time, but probably sell off a little bit at the deadline and just continue to infuse some young talent into their organization. So ultimately, I think it'll be a better result than 2019 because it'll be a continued infusion of talent into their organization. Some of their prospects will have come up, like Joey Bart, Sean Jelly, maybe Logan Webb establishes himself a little more, and then you'll have more future pieces, and then all of a sudden, you'll see them kind of brimming with young talent and future pieces. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I look forward to being with you every weekday all year long on Locked On Giants.
Hello, Giants fans. I'm Scott Cullen, host of Locked On Fantasy Baseball, with a couple of players for you to consider for the 2020 Major League Baseball season. 24-year-old second baseman Mauricio Dubon showed some unexpected power in the minors last season, hitting 20 home runs. And even though he stole only 10 bases last season, he did have three 30-steal seasons in the minors. He hit .279 with four home runs and three stolen bases in 109 plate appearances with the Giants last season, so there is a way to see Dubon producing enough to fill a middle infield slot. Maybe exercise a little bit of caution on 29-year-old outfielder Mike Yastrzemski. He slugged 21 home runs and 411 plate appearances last season and was a feel-good story, but he also struck out on 26% of his plate appearances and was boosted by a .320 batting average on balls in play. The grandson of Carl Yastrzemski may make it as a major league regular, but odds are against him maintaining last season's production.
The Rockies made back-to-back postseason appearances in 2017 and 2018, but took a huge step back in a disappointing 2019. What does 2020 have in store for them? Jenna Garcia of Locked On Rockies gives her thoughts.
Hey guys, Jenna Garcia here, host of your Locked On Rockies podcast on your Locked On Podcast Network, here with your 2020 season preview. What are one or two of the biggest storylines coming up this 2020 Rockies season? First off, after a peek behind the curtain, fans find out that Nolan Arenado feels disrespected by the Rockies front office. How long will Nolan Arenado be a Colorado Rocky? And secondly, after missing Rocktober last season, the Rockies make zero major free agent signings this offseason, and yet their ownership still believes they're going to make the playoffs this year. What's the best case scenario for this Rockies team? Well, according to Dick Monfort, the Rockies are on their way to a 94-win season. Comparing this year's Rockies repeat roster to their 07-08 year. In 07, the Rockies went to the World Series and flopped big time in 08, only winning 74 games. And then bouncing back in 09, winning 92, considered one of their best seasons, greatest teams in Rockies history, potentially. If that's true, then best case scenario means Dick Monfort's right, and this repeat roster will have a bounce back year and make it past the NLDS as opposed to getting swept as they did 2 years ago. Worst case scenario for the 2020 Rockies season would be that they finish last in the division as predicted by multiple major outlets, proving that this theory of bringing back the same roster of guys, whether it is full of talent or not, unsuccessful, meaning that moving forward, major roster changes to come for the Rockies, including the likelihood of losing Nolan Arenado in order to open up cap space, and probably watching a lot of AAA Rockies out on the field this season. Who's the top positional player to watch this season? Most people would say Nolan Arenado, but I'm going to have to go with Trevor Story. After signing his new two-year, $27.5 million contract extension to cover the last 2 years of arbitration eligibility, he is the man to watch on the field. Last season, he set career highs in runs scored with 111, batting average with 2.294, and a on-base percentage of .363. That doesn't even include the four years he's played in major leagues, where he's slashed .276, .341, and a .537. And don't forget, he's a two-time All-Star as well. 2020 is the year of Story. Who is the top pitcher to watch? A lot of people are going to disagree with me because it's an even year and there's a lot of superstition in baseball, meaning 2020, even season, John Gray couldn't possibly have any success this year. I'm going to have to disagree. 2020 is going to be a great year for John Gray. He's finally getting back into his groove after a tough 2018, despite finishing out last season with a little bit of an injury. He looks like he's coming back strong, and I think and believe that he's going to make it a priority to string together two successful seasons. And of course, who are some of the rookies who might make an impactful debut this season? Well, my number one go-to guy is going to be lefty reliever Ben Bowden. There's no place the Rockies need more help than within their bullpen. Last year, the Rockies finished out the season with the worst bullpen in Major League Baseball. Ben Bowden, on the other hand, is a rookie who went 20 for 20 in save chances in Hartford in 2019 before he headed up to AAA Albuquerque to strike out 79 in 51.2 innings pitched. Bowden has a nice arm that could be the answer to some of their bullpen woes. And finally, my best guess for how this season ends up. Unfortunately, I don't totally agree with Dick Monfort in the fact that the Rockies will have a 94-win season when you have the Dodgers in the same division. My best guess is that the Rockies finish middle of the road. The Dodgers are on a rampage, especially after the news of the Astros and their cheating scandal, cheating them out of a championship, and then finding out that the Red Sox did it to them in consecutive years. I don't believe anything can stop the Dodgers from heading to the World Series and winning it this season, simply because they are determined to do so. Although I don't agree with other major outlets saying that the Rockies will finish their season at the end of their division, at the bottom of their division, despite the fact that other teams like the Diamondbacks and the Padres did make improvements to their roster, I still think the Rockies finish ahead of both the Diamondbacks and the Giants in the NL West. I don't know if they make it to a wild card game again, but if they do, I think their chances are good of winning that wild card game and getting another shot at the playoffs. This is a roster, despite the changes or lack of changes, this is a roster full of talent. So I do have faith in them to not finish at the end of the road. That being said, I do think the Padres will have a pretty good season ahead of them and potentially finish ahead of the Rockies this year.
Hello, Rockies fans. I'm Scott Cullen, host of Locked On Fantasy Baseball, with a couple of players for you to consider for the 2020 Major League Baseball season. In many cases, when finding a player that I like better than the market, I veer towards sleepers and breakthrough players, but in some cases, a blue chipper needs to be acknowledged, and such is the case with Rockies third baseman Nolan Arenado. In the past five seasons, he has averaged 40 home runs, 124 RBIs, 104 runs, and a .300 batting average. He also never gets hurt, if you need another reason to like Arenado. On the other hand, left-handed pitcher John Gray was a third overall pick in the 2013 draft, and he's developed into a reliable enough starter for the Rockies, but he struggled to put up numbers that would make him appealing in fantasy terms. Last season's 3.84 ERA was okay, the 1.35 whip was a little shaky, and 150 strikeouts in 150 innings was fine, but that's not enough to get big fantasy interest. There will be fourth and fifth starters on better teams that can put up better numbers and win more in the process.
Finally, Javier Reyes of Locked On Padres, who's been a guest here on Locked On MLB and will be a future guest on the Bull Durham Minute podcast that I host, talks about his Padres, a team that I find very intriguing.
What's up, everybody? I'm Javier Reyes, the host of the Locked On Padres podcast, and it's season preview time. As far as I'm concerned, the main storyline or narrative of the San Diego Padres is, well, how far off are they really? According to all the websites and best people with all of the best qualifications, we already know that their potential future outlook is strong thanks to their farm system. However, the question is about right now. Not necessarily a win now kind of team, but seeing great seasons from young players and from some that may or may not have enormous contracts to live up to, Manny Machado, would go a really long way into building momentum for this team becoming a true frontrunner down the road. The best case scenario for the team is that everyone simply plays up to their talent level, like the aforementioned Machado, and they avoid being a pushover for teams like the Dodgers and actually be quite competitive. The best case scenario for the team is that everyone simply plays up to their talent level, like the aforementioned Machado, and they avoid being a pushover for teams like the Dodgers and actually be quite competitive in the ML West. Last season's Padres were an underachieving team, and while they certainly aren't some top 10 lock-it-in contender type of roster, you can't tell me that as currently constructed, they're a bottom 8 team, which is what they finished as last year. If all of their new acquisitions like Tommy Pham, Emilio Pagan, and Drew Pomeranz, as well as returning face to Nelson Lamet, who I'm super high on, can provide above-average seasons, the Padres can quickly vault themselves into the, for lack of a better prestigious-sounding title, actually interesting and fun and good team conversation. The absolute worst-case scenario for the team is if Manny Machado, for example, doesn't have the bounce-back season many are expecting, or their bullpen isn't nearly as strong as it was projected to be, or their lack of outfield depth becomes disturbingly apparent as the pressure solely relies on Tommy Pham carrying the load out there. Even worse, the Padres, while I don't necessarily think this is true for general manager AJ Preller and his tendencies, could get overly desperate and begin trading some of the pieces from their stacked farm system just to acquire good, but low upside, talent in order to salvage the season. My top positional player, though, by my expert and absolutely always correct calculation, Fernando Tatis Jr. is not only the top positional player to watch on the Padres, but in the entire league as a whole. Tatis Jr., who the casual fan might remember for having hit two grand slams in one game before, hit .317 with 22 home runs and even chipped in 16 stolen bases in just 84 games last season. He's also electric on the base paths, got a solid glove at shortstop, and in general is one of the most exciting young players you'll find in the entire game. And remember, he did all that in just 84 games, which is, like, not a lot. As long as he stays healthy and maybe cuts down on the strikeouts a tad, then whoo daddy-o, we're in for a good ride this year. As far as pitching goes, the obvious answer here would be the sheriff. Of course, Chris Paddock, and his lion tattoo and illustrious-looking hair. But that's actually not where I'm going to go. Instead, I like to reference Denelson Lamet, who's got absolute wipeout stuff that's going to surprise a lot of people outside of the Friar Faithful homies like myself. He's coming off Tommy John surgery, but don't let that scare you off as pretty much all of his metrics have suggested that he's even better than he was pre-injury and that he's truly fully recovered. Look out for him to not only be a standout second starting pitcher behind Chris Paddock, but also being one of the breakout strikeout percentage pitchers this whole season for both the American and National League. I doubt this season will see a more impactful rookie for the Padres on the level of Tatis Jr. last season, but I'm keeping an eye on outfielder Taylor Trammell, who is a highly regarded prospect when he was in the Reds organization that might play more this season than you might think, considering the Padres don't exactly have a lot of depth in the outfield, especially in center. Also, look out for Mackenzie Gore, the more obvious pick, of course, considering he's the current number one pitching prospect in all of baseball, and he's probably projected to come up later in the year. In terms of my best guess on how the season ends, I actually think the Padres are the perfect example of a post-type sleeper. Yes, a lot of potential was wasted last year, especially when you consider the hype surrounding the Manny Machado signing, but basically everything went wrong for the team last year. When you look at the team this year and consider all the acquisitions and trades that they made, they've literally improved in every single category, whether that be bullpen, defense, infield, whatever. They've got all the pieces necessary to make that next jump and be potentially interesting down the road. I'm expecting them to be an above-average team and maybe even be above 500, but definitely better than the 70 wins that they had last year. I think this team is going to compete, and I think it's going to be the number 2 seed in the NL West. That might sound not overly exciting, but I really don't think people are expecting this type of season from the Padres. And my Friar Faithful homies know exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to being a sleeper. And that's it in terms of my season preview, guys. I'm looking forward to the season, and I hope you are too. Trust me. It's going to be a good one. Do not sleep on us, or you will regret it. Take care.
Hello, Padres fans. I'm Scott Cullen, host of Locked On Fantasy Baseball, with a couple of players for you to consider for the 2020 Major League Baseball season. It seems like a lot of hope to be projecting a 27-year-old with minimal Major League track record, but Denelson Lamet has a 4.37 ERA in 35 career starts. That's not very enticing, but a 1.25 whip and 11.7 strikeouts per nine is much more intriguing. if Lamet can stay healthy. With that stuff, 2020 should be a breakthrough season, and it's worth a late-round fantasy pick to find out if he can do it. A player you might want to avoid is second baseman Jurickson Profar. At one time, many years ago, Profar was the top prospect in baseball, and it was a long and winding road from there to an everyday spot in the major leagues. In 2018, he emerged with 20 home runs and 10 stolen bases while hitting .254, a nice enough breakthrough. Last season, he still hit 20 homers and stole 9 bases, but he hit just .218, which is actively damaging to your fantasy roster. If Profar can hit for a little average, he's a useful player. His .234 career batting average does raise the possibility, however, that he won't hit for a high enough average to make a positive impact.
Well, that's the end of our season previews, and that's it for the NL West for the 2020 season. Let's hope we have some baseball eventually. Thanks to Scott Cullen of Locked On Fantasy Baseball, Jenna Garcia of Locked On Rockies, Jeff Snyder and Vince Sampiero of Locked On Dodgers, Ben Kaspic of Locked On Giants, Javier Reyes of Locked On Padres, Miller Thomas of Locked On Diamondbacks for your contributions to today's show. Check out all those shows on the Himalaya podcasting app or wherever you get your podcasts. And please subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Baseball for more great insights of the upcoming season. This has been the Locked On MLB podcast for the 23rd day of March 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.